You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
Real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's special live episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Oh, man, this is a crazy week. So many things happening. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
That also includes this week. The life is throwing us curveballs, but you know what? We are just hitting them out of the park.
We're just crushing them.
That's right.
That's right.
So there are so many things happening on this week's episode. We're live this week because of a certain league that decided to postpone a game unfairly to our beloved Philadelphia home team. So we had to move our recording day from Tuesday to Wednesday because they scheduled the game on Tuesday night.
You know, one team in the NFL catches the plague and it ruins everybody's schedules.
Yes. So that alone was a little bit crazy that we're switching this week to a live episode on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
But then it also hit me. I totally forgot. This is our last episode before Christmas. So technically it's our Christmas episode.
Yes.
So it's just been crazy. I'm full of Chinese food and Christmas cookies. I'm all over the place.
That's a good thing to be filled with.
Yes, but I'm all over the place. I don't know what the hell's happening.
I am so stuffed right now from dinner and dessert. But that's okay. It was tasty.
Yes. So other than that, Mikey, how you doing, my friend? How's Costanzo country during Christmas?
It's good. It's been hectic. A lot of stuff going on. Trying to get a lot of stuff ready. Luckily, we got all the shopping done, all the wrapping done. It's just been little things here and there and running last-minute errands, you know, trying to get everything prepped.
I
just got a text message that there's cops at our apartment complex, so...
All right, I wasn't going to get into that.
I know. Like, right before we were about to go, I get a text message from my girlfriend. She's like, there's cops at the apartment complex. I'm like, okay, of course, like, always. Numerous times you've come by and there's been fire alarms, there's been cops, there's been, you know, you warned me about Norristown.
I wasn't going to get into that, but you volunteered this information. So yeah, literally we were about to hit the start button.
Yeah.
Like 15 minutes ago, and Mikey all of a sudden turns to me and just says, there's cops outside my apartment.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like, you couldn't make this up. So
no.
we were already kind of like, you know, running tooth to nail to, like, you know, we're trying to get this going in the 9 o'clock hour and everything like that. And then you just bombard me like, whoa. I'm like, okay, well then we got to, like, I want to make sure you're okay, Mike.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, really? So like, that's in the forefront of my mind, but I'm also thinking about Deathloop on PlayStation 5.
What a transition.
How's that for a transition? You got to stay professional.
Yes, this is the Christmas Noodle Podcast.
So yeah, other than the holiday stuff, I've also been playing Deathloop on PlayStation 5. It's one of those, you know, you constantly loop back through time to try and learn more information.
Yeah, this has been a new thing with you. You've been doing a lot of time-based video games.
A lot of time-looping-based video games.
Because you did this. You did the Forgotten City last week.
Yep. And for Christmas,
like a time travel mode.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an interesting gameplay mechanic where every time you loop through, you remember the information and the places and the people and, you know, all the secrets from the previous loop. And so you use that information to your advantage to try and solve puzzles and, you know, figure out how to do certain stuff in the correct order to, you know, create the outcome that you want. Whereas the Forgotten City was, I actually enjoyed the Forgotten City a little bit more, you know, right now at this point in Deathloop. Because Deathloop is much more action oriented. The Forgotten City was more about investigating and like piecing together clues. This is more about like what kind of gear you can get and, you know, how can you play, you know, stealthily or how well you can play so that you collect as much stuff before the next loop, I guess, so far. and it's more action oriented. So it's more skill based, I guess.
Okay,
is what it is than the Forgotten City.
So now, so that's two games. You're gonna have a third one coming up soon.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So
hopefully.
There you go. If you want more time based video game recommendations, see Mikey.
Yes, I
know, all over the place.
I know all two of them so far.
Yes.
But that's what I've been doing. How have you been doing? Are you ready for the holidays yet? I mean, you only got like a day, so.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I have no
idea.
Yeah,
sure. You don't know.
I don't know. It's just everything is just.
Did you get your shopping done?
Probably not. But everything has just been blended into like one thing this week. I don't know. I feel like it's weird that Christmas fell right on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've had this phenomenon at work that, like, I feel like people have already started just checking out.
Yes.
And it's, you know.
Absolutely.
And like, hey, you know, go ahead. It's the holidays, you know, take a break. But, like.
Oh, I don't work between Christmas and New Year's. I make a point to try and take off.
Yeah. So,
because that would be my mindset. I'd be, like, stuck, you know, in front of my computer being like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, it's holidays. You know,
there's cookies to eat and games to play and people to visit. I don't want to work during the holidays. I think everybody should get off between. I think the entire country should shut down between Christmas and New Year's. That's just me.
Okay, and not for a COVID reason.
No, everybody should be given off during that time.
Yep. Well, that might be the de facto case anyway, because it feels like a lot of people have already checked out. I feel like so
good.
But hey, well, you know, it's already coming up. Holidays are already here. It's crazy. Let's get into some sports topics so that we don't feel checked out, because we do actually have a couple of legitimate stories we got to talk about here in the first batch of topics. We call it the sports sampler, and I don't have the music up. There we go. I didn't have the. I guess I've already checked out. I didn't have the right fader on. Here we go. Sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face.
You ready, Mike?
As I, sure.
Yeah, there you go.
that's how prepared we are for this episode was that audio clip.
Yes, I love that clip.
You ready, Mike?
As I, sure.
There you go. That was Mike just literally like 3 weeks ago.
Look, it's understandable.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, especially with this week.
You ready, Mike?
As I, sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Actually, these two topics in the 2 minute drill, I think, show that we're not the only ones that may be a little bit off of our game here. So let's get into a special weird concession edition of the 2 minute drill. All right. Music is armed. 2 minutes. What do you have, Mike?
All right. Well, first up, the New York Giants hosted a fan appreciation day. The bonus was very, very generous. They offered a free medium Pepsi, not even a Coca-Cola, a Pepsi.
How about a medium?
A medium, not even a large souvenir cup.
It's supposed to be the fan appreciation.
You're appreciating
day.
The fans, not saying here's the average.
We appreciate you, but not enough to get you a large Pepsi.
But wait, there's more. As if they couldn't be that cheap enough. Oh my God, my words are failing me. To be even cheaper, they only gave the free drink to the person who bought the ticket.
Yes.
Not every person in attendance.
Right. So, for example, if you have a family of four people, you bought four right. pack of tickets.
Right.
Only one medium Pepsi.
Some guy is taking his kids to Fan Appreciation Day. Sorry, little Billy. We only got one Coke and Daddy's thirsty.
Yep. Sorry,
like,
Billy.
What the hell, Giants?
Yeah. I didn't think it was possible to mess up a free promotion.
For a major NFL franchise to be that cheap.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there's one other. Because somehow Heinz, as in Heinz Ketchup.
Yes.
Heinz Field, home of the Steelers, ran out of ketchup.
Yes.
Heinz Ketchup. Again, Heinz Field, Heinz Ketchup. Are you seeing a correlation here? They ran out of it by halftime. Fans had to resort to using relish.
Yes.
As a substitute, which... Hard times in Pittsburgh. Sorry, relish on fries, I don't think so.
Yes.
Ketchup, mayo, all these things. Relish, that's the last thing I'm reaching for.
Boy, if that doesn't tell you how bad the Steelers season has gone, between Big Ben retiring and no playoffs, There you go. There's no ketchup at the damn stadium. There you go.
The buzzer has sounded on Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Just
the great ketchup famine of 2021.
Yes, you can't even get your ketchup situation straight.
You can't even make it past halftime.
Yeah, it's past halftime.
Like here's the
end of the game.
I understand. Like maybe midway through the third quarter, you know, maybe you start running low. Like by the game's not even half over yet, and they're like, we are all out of the most basic,
the most common condiment.
Like any restaurant you go to in America, ketchup, they have it.
Yes.
Like it doesn't matter
condiment.
If you're like a, you know, like a 3 Michelin star restaurant, they're probably going to have ketchup.
Yeah. So.
Not Heinz Field, though. Again, Heinz Field, sponsored by Heinz Ketchup, the ketchup they ran out of.
Yeah. It's like Gillette Stadium running out of razors.
If right? All the fans can't get the razors that they need. I mean, honestly, it's bad PR for Heinz.
Yeah, that's
if I were Hunt's ketchup, I'd be like, look, they can't even supply their own stadium. Have Hunt's.
Well, no. It's good for Heinz because it shows you how popular their ketchup is.
Oh, see that now you can tell he majored in marketing because he's going to twist it. He's like, people love Heinz so much, we just couldn't keep up with demand. People were just
right.
Guzzling it, just shooting packets into their mouths.
Right, just ketchup cannon right in the
ketchup
mouth.
Ketchup cannon, right? They grab the squirt bottle. They don't squirt it on the hot dog. They squirt it right in the old
gullet,
right in the old gullet, yeah. And then they put the hot dog in.
Right, so that is fine for Heinz.
Okay,
but it's bad for Heinz Field, like the actual field stadium complex,
right?
Because they couldn't keep it up. So there you go. One of the weirdest 2 minute drills there. A weird concession based 2 minute drill. I would say the weirdness stops there, but no, things got weirder as we alluded to in the beginning of this show. Because the Eagles versus Washington football team game was supposed to happen on Sunday, and then it got postponed due to a rash of COVID outbreak on the Washington football team, and they decided to delay the game till Tuesday night, which is our traditional time to record, so that threw us in a loop.
It's so upsetting.
But as for the game itself, the Eagles were able to still pull out a win 27-17, although it didn't look good the first quarter of that game. They looked like they had some rust. It looked like they were just mentally not there yet. There was weird turnovers, the interception that bounced off of Dallas Goedert's leg.
Yeah, like luck seemed to be against them.
It was bizarre.
It was really weird. It was sloppy. It was boring, like every other Eagles game. you know, this is the thing. I've been talking a lot about this today. Talked with my parents, talked with my girlfriend about Jalen Hurts. You know, I know I don't want to sound like, you know, a WIP caller here.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, Hurts is bad. We should go get Nick Foles back.
Yeah, where's Nick Foles?
That's not what I'm advocating for.
Minshew mania.
Minshew. And I'm not advocating for that either. But I don't think Hurts is the guy. I mean, we watched that game last night. And what's your read on the situation? Hurts just does not seem like he has the elite skill set to be a reliable starter in this league.
So I think something else that we talked about while we were watching that game last night, I think it's more of just the offensive scheming in general. I mean, we're dealing
with... What is their identity?
We're dealing with a team that their number one running back does not have a single touchdown this entire season.
Oh, that blew my mind. I did not realize that. I had just assumed.
We are 14 games into this season. Miles Sanders has zero touchdown.
And not rushing, but rushing and receiving.
Both. Right. Both. Yeah. He has not found the end zone at all this entire season.
Like something is off when you're starting running back. I mean, even if you're a team that doesn't run the ball at all, like, usually the starting running back has one or two touchdowns, like, you know.
Yeah, fall into the end zone.
Fall into the end zone. He has none. He ran
But they don't. So here's the thing. When they get within, like, 3 yards.
It's all Hurts. What happens if.
Or Boston Scott
or
randomly.
Boston Scott. But here's the thing. What happens when teams. Because eventually they get found out.
Yep.
Rushing quarterbacks always get found out. See Lamar Jackson, see Michael Vick, see Dante Culpepper, see Donovan McNabb. They all get found out one way or another.
Yeah.
They get slowed
at
up.
At some point, either, yeah, you slow up on your running or the defense will just send out 9 defensive backs and force you to pickpocket them.
Yeah. And it really frustrates me how it's just the Jalen Hurts show, because I don't think that's sustainable.
No, it won't be. Not at this pace.
No. And it's a shame because we have good weapons. You have Sanders, you have Goddard, you have Devontae Smith, who's looking more and more like he could be, you know, a reliable threat if they actually threw the ball at all.
So, and then another thing that is just questionable about this is the wide receivers that he currently has between Devonta Smith, Rager, Greg Ward, they're all speedy.
They're all small speedsters.
Small, yeah. You've seen a couple of times, not only in that game, but the last couple of games that Jalen Hurts has started, he kind of just leaves it as a floating duck. And it's like, no. You cannot do that with these kind of wide receivers.
One, he underthrows them on go routes all the time.
Yeah.
Two, his timing on intermediate routes is atrocious. And he just overly relies on Dallas Goedert. It's the same thing as with Zach Ertz. Like, you have these speedy guys that can stretch the field, but I don't see them stretching the field all that much, or like threatening deep all that much.
Yeah.
You know,
especially just, for a top pick like Devonta Smith.
Yeah, I feel like right now Hurts is the weak link on that offense. We have a very good offensive line. We have, you know, decent weapons on the outside. I think Hurts is the weak link. And I don't know, people online are so quick to defend him. And my thing is always, how many games do you need to see before you write him off as not the answer? Because he had last season with one head coach and one scheme. He's had an entire offseason, new head coach, new scheme. He has weapons on the outside. He has weapons in the ground game. He has weapons underneath in tight ends. He has a great offensive line. Why are we sitting at 7-7? Why did we go down 10-0 against a terrible Washington team who's missing 6 or 7 starters because of COVID? Like, yep. If they really think he's the answer, why do we keep finding ourselves in these situations?
If Bill Belichick had faced off against this team, would there have been a 10-0 start?
Right. If you take away Jalen Hurts' 2 rushing touchdowns, we lose this game.
Yeah. So,
and people are like, oh, you can't just take away those touchdowns. I mean, what happens if there comes a time when you know, he doesn't have his legs? Or what happens if defenses figure him out?
Yeah, put 9 defensive backs in the backfield.
Opponents previous weeks have said, we're going to try and force him to beat us with his arm. When's the last time you ever heard a defense say, we're going to make the quarterback whose job it is to throw beat us by throwing?
Yes.
I hope you can beat us doing
Lamar
the job.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
That was the last time.
Yeah,
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson can throw.
Well, not that one year. That was against the Chargers. And they beat him. That was funny. That literally, hey, if it works, it works. But then, yeah, Lamar Jackson learned how to be a better passer. So how about this? Let's look forward. Whether or not they make the playoffs, which is bizarre. I can't believe
they're going to make them.
We're talking about that. But there's something else that happened, too. And that was the Colts had a big win over the Patriots. Carson Wentz played the whole game, which solidifies the threshold. So the Eagles definitely get the first-round pick from the Colts. We already get the first-round pick from the Dolphins.
Right.
What do you think the Eagles are going to do with now 3 confirmed first-round picks?
Well, they're going to trade down at least with 1 or 2 of them. If they're in that 13, 14 to 20-something range, we're going to trade down. I mean, even when we had a top 10 pick, we traded down.
Yeah.
You know, that is like Howie's MO, trade down, collect capital. If Howie had real balls...
Here's
the thing. We started the season, we could potentially have 2 top 10 picks. Throughout the season, those picks have slowly and steadily fallen down the board. We're going to have 3 picks in maybe the late teen range as it's projecting now, probably. That's what I'm assuming.
I think it'll be worse with the Colts.
Probably worse, yeah.
Colts are looking good.
I think our highest pick will be no higher than like 15, maybe. At this rate, you know, I say... go full Madden and just trade all 3 of your first-round picks, and you collect 3 new first-round picks plus your own for 2023. Why not? Just keep, you know, rolling them over.
Wait. So, hold on. What exactly are you...
I would say trade all 3 to separate teams for future first-round picks.
So you want to punt on the upcoming draft?
Just punt entirely.
Because you're looking for a quarterback.
I'm looking for a quarterback.
And there's no quarterback.
There's no quarterback. I'm looking for a quarterback.
Wow.
I don't think Hurts is the guy. Are you committed to give Hurts a $100 million contract? Because pretty soon, here's the thing.
When does his contract expire? Yeah, that's a good question.
Right, exactly. So this is his second year. He's going to be in his third year next year. So you have to ask yourself, Rich, is he?
That's
because
a good point.
That's the going rate now.
Yeah,
you're not going to sign a quarterback for $50, $60 million. He is going to be a $100 million contract. Are you going to sign him to a $100 million contract next year?
I don't know. That's a good point.
So my follow-up question, how many of those first-round picks are you trading to bank extra first-round picks next year?
Wow. That's a good point, Mike. Yeah, you got me with that one.
If you believe in Hurts, ask yourself this, Hurts fans.
Are you willing to pay $100 million?
How much are you willing to give Hurts?
Big contract.
Because do you want to Kirk Cousins him?
Yeah, this could be a Kirk Cousins situation.
Is 8 or 9 wins worth $100 million? Because I'd rather go out and get a top-tier young free agent corner or a defensive lineman for $100 million instead of pay Jalen Hurts. Because I don't think Jalen Hurts has the talent to take them more than 8, 9 wins.
All right. Wow. Bold status for Mike.
This is why I'm not an NFL GM.
But that's a good point. Yeah, I we're getting kind of, at least the way I feel. Yeah, we're kind of getting caught up in the moment and in the season,
right,
and everything. But that's a legitimate question that Howie's going to have to ask is, when you're finished the end of next year,
right?
Is he worth the big contract? Because he's probably going to ask. Yeah,
Hurts is going to command at least $100 million because he's a big name. Whether or not he's good, he's a big name. He's the only option, and if he makes the playoffs this year, he's going to be like, look, I made the playoffs in my second year starting.
Yeah, that is something you can brag on your resume.
It's one of those things. If Kirk Cousins can go out there and get $100 million guaranteed for never making the playoffs but having stats, why wouldn't Jalen Hurts command more for being a playoff-caliber quarterback? Yeah. I want people to be honest. If you look at Jalen Hurts and you put him against Aaron Rodgers and Kyler Murray and all these other quarterbacks in the playoffs, is he in the same playing field as those players?
All right. Well, there you go. Ask that question to yourself. But we got to go into another segment where we try to predict the future. We got to do some Fantastic Four picks for the upcoming NFL season. But I'm going to do it a little bit differently. No techno music. But this is Christmas, our Christmas episode. So there you go, a little Christmas backing music for our Fantastic Four picks.
Oh, this is so cheery.
I guess it's like, a little giddy football present for everyone this weekend.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I like it.
Little Fantastic Four presents.
I like it. It's nice. Well, first up, here is a Christmas present for everyone. This is a fantastic matchup. It's the Indianapolis Colts traveling to Arizona to face off against the Cardinals. This is a Christmas Day primetime game. So after you've finished stuffing your faces, go and watch some football. It's a great matchup. Two great offenses facing off against each other, both of them angling for the playoffs. Rich, who do you think takes this one?
So the Cardinals got a big lump of coal last week, losing to the Detroit Lions, handing them their first win, which was bizarre. On the flip side, the Colts are coming off of probably one of their biggest wins of the season against the Patriots. This is one of the situations where you want to follow the advice of a team isn't as good as their best win, and they're not as horrible as their worst loss. Those are kind of extremes that naturally happen throughout the season. So I'm going to go with I think it's just probably a wake-up call for Arizona. I think Arizona rebounds at home, and they take care of business here against the Colts.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I think they're going to want to show up big against the Colts after having that disappointing loss. I know that the Colts right now have that electric ground game with Jonathan Taylor, but the Cardinals have a very stout defense. So if they can keep him under control, he counts for over a third of the Colts' offense. So if you can lock him down, you know, it makes the Colts a little bit one-dimensional.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the last two games that the Colts have won, actually Wentz hasn't actually been doing that well. I think he didn't. I don't think he even cracked 100 passing yards last week.
Force him to beat you by throwing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking the Cardinals at home as well.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those situations.
It's one of those situations. Well, here's another interesting situation brewing in the AFC East. We have a battle for the ownership of that division, the Buffalo Bills, who we thought were going to be the runaway favorite in the AFC, facing off against the Patriots. The Bills are on the outside looking in, 8-6, Patriots at 9-5, even with the rookie quarterback. Rich, can the Bills stay alive?
I'm going to say that they must. And they do. This is okay. Their backs are against the wall here. If they don't pull out a win here against the Patriots, I don't know. I think the whole season is pretty much then done for, because then they're going to be a wild card team. They're going to have to go on the road. And I don't know. I think they really needed at least one game to be at Buffalo in order for them to have a successful playoff run. If you're telling me they got to start out as a wild card team, I don't know. It's not looking good for their chances. So I think the Bills come in. They realize what's at stake, and they pounce on this Patriots team.
Right now, I think the Patriots are just playing too good to drop a game to a division opponent. I'm just looking at this very interesting stat right here. Bill Belichick is 6-0 as the Patriots head coach in divisional games where both teams are within one game of the division later, this late in the season. Oh. There's one thing Belichick and the Patriots know. They know how to play late in the season at home against a division rival. That defense, really good. Mac Jones can win games by just throwing two passes.
Yeah, and that was the last time they matched up.
So I could see the Patriots.
Belichick's just going to... He's going to amass another crazy win that attacks Foxborough.
He's going to create a crazy, huge winter storm. I'm going with the Patriots at home for this one.
All right.
Next up, though, we have a battle for the AFC North. This is going to be a very interesting matchup. We have the Baltimore Ravens, 8-6, at the Cincinnati Bengals, also 8-6. This is for the division, essentially. Who do you have taking this one?
I think you still got to go Ravens. I know the Ravens have been on a little bit of a losing streak, but, you know, two of those games that they lost in this losing streak came down to two-point conversions. They would have had those games if the two-point conversion would have went the right way, or if they had, you know, done the point after successfully and it succeeded in overtime. You know, it's they lost because of kind of fluky reasons. You know, I think the fact that they still remain close in these games, they're able to fight to the end. I think they're a better team overall than the Bengals. And I think with that, you got to take them over the Bengals.
Yeah, I think the Ravens just have more experience. Honestly, the Bengals are still trying to find their identity as a team. Young quarterback, young receivers, they're just new at this winning way recently. And the Ravens, I think that
Ravens have just had some bad luck.
Yeah, but I also think
two games decided on a two-point conversion that both didn't go their way.
Yeah, and I think they've been here before. You know, they have this experience of having to win late, getting to the playoffs. They know what this is about at this stage in the season. So I'm going to go with the Ravens as well. But the Bengals could give them a real fight.
The
Bengals are impressive this year. So we'll see how that goes. And finally, we have the New York Giants coming to Philly to face off against the Eagles on a super short week. Rich, can we overcome the Tuesday night game to beat the heated division rival New York Giants?
They should.
They should, but will they?
Oh, God, we said that about the last Giants game.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they still should. Giants are just lost.
Only that, I mean, rookie head coach, like what, like 4 days of rest? Not even.
I'd still go with the Eagles at home.
All right.
I think they still should be able to get the job done.
Two steps forward, one step back. I think that the Eagles lose a shocker to the Giants. Nick Sirianni has COVID right now.
Yes, that's right. Just announced.
So can he? They've got 4 days to prepare. Can he even help the team prepare if he's quarantined and separated from team activities? This is one of those secret trap games where it's like, We know we're going to beat the Giants. Let's focus on getting the Washington football team again the next week. Short week, no head coach. This could be a dangerous one.
So are you officially saying Giants win this one?
Oh, man. It really tears me up, but...
Do the Eagles fans get a whole bunch of coal this weekend?
I think so.
Oh.
The Giants did it before on not a short week with the Eagles head coach available to them. What makes you think it's going to be different?
All right. Well, I don't know. I'm hoping that the Eagles learn from their mistakes from the first go around. But you're right. It could happen again.
Nothing is impossible. I hope they win. I don't think they will.
All right, there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number 15. If you're an Eagles fan, it sounds like you're getting a whole bunch of coal then this weekend.
Whoops.
And that's all Mikey has to say. Just whoops. There you go. A little bit different, too, to have some Christmas music.
I like
there.
That. It was not as, like, heart-poundingly anxiety-inducing as the techno music.
Well, don't worry. We're bringing back the techno music next week.
Okay.
And then the millionaire music for the playoffs.
Oh, God.
That's the best part. That's
that really is.
When we really crank down the heart-pulsing music.
I know.
Just for Mike.
Just for me.
Like it's like he gets a heart attack making these predictions. All right, but with that, we are done the sports sampler. So you know what? We're going to take a little bit of a break here, but don't go anywhere because we still have the entertainment entree and the non-fortune cookie odd news still to come here on this special live Christmas episode because of the NFL and everything like that. Everything got moved, so we're doing this one live here on Wednesday night. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, our special somewhat Christmas episode, you know,
yeah.
We're trying to, you know, make it a little festive.
With holiday music.
Yeah, why not?
I like rocking sounding Christmas songs.
Yeah, you want to rock on Christmas.
Like, everybody likes the classics, but give me like a good like Mannheim Steamroller, like Trans-Siberian Orchestra, like,
you know? Yep, that's right.
This is pretty good. What's
so,
this?
There you go. This is just a cover of
random
of Wonderful Christmas Time.
It's some random you found on the YouTube.
Yeah, it works.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's great. But Jeff Malin, this is who's doing the sweet licks here.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. A little lick for you.
Little lick. Give a little lick. A lick. What's that clip you used to have? Licking a hand out? Everybody's looking for a free
lick.
Oh,
I know. Yeah, you're talking about good old Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's having a good Christmas.
You represent what I detest. You're a punk walking in the back door with your hand open Jackson, looking for a free lick.
Yeah, looking for a free lick.
Well, we just got a free
you
lick.
You got a free lick, baby. Yeah. There you go. Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
What is happening?
Yes. Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Other than licks and sports analysis, we also give you other information in the world of entertainment with the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
Who are the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world?
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Oh, yeah, Entertainment Entree. We're going to kick it off with the segment where Mike is going to let you know what's coming up this weekend, other than Christmas. If you're looking for other things to do, we got things happening in video games, TV, and movies with Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mikey, what do you have for us?
All right, first up in This Week in Entertainment, I want to point out there's a lot of video game sales going on right now for the holidays. So if you're looking for a game for yourself or someone else, go check out all of those special sales that are happening right now. In TV, of course, I got to remind everyone to watch A Christmas Story.
Yes.
24-hour yes. marathon. Yes.
You have to.
You have to.
I cannot believe people still have not seen A Christmas Story.
On Christmas Eve, it is on in the background as soon as it starts on TBS and TNT. And it just stays on.
My mom has the DVD. She just puts it and just keep playing.
That's better. No ads.
Yeah, better. Much better.
I have the DVD, too. Why don't I do that?
Yeah, why don't you just do that?
I don't know. Anyway, make sure you either put on your DVD of A Christmas Story or watch it on TBS and TNT starting.
Watch The Christmas Story at some point. You
absolutely,
have to.
Absolutely. You have 24 hours to do it. No excuse.
Yes.
So 8 and 9 p.m. on Christmas Eve. All the way through to Christmas Day night.
I'm going to say it right here. Eventually, we're going to get into this.
Okay.
But The Christmas Story, as far as I'm concerned, best Christmas movie. Yes. I don't care what anybody says. I'm sorry.
Oh, I agree.
Don't.
Top.
Sorry. It's number one. It's numero uno.
Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
But before we get into that, we got to talk about movies. There's two big movies coming out this week. First up, The Matrix Resurrections.
Woo!
That's right. It's hitting theaters and HBO Max this week. So if you have HBO Max, you got to see it. There's no excuse. Rich, The Matrix is back after, I don't know, how many years. Some number of years.
So, can I cut in on this?
Yeah, cut.
So I actually watched it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
How do you like this? Yeah.
Why do you tell me this until right now?
So I decided to stay up all night and watch it.
Okay.
It's pretty good. It's basically what I'm going to say is you have to be willing to forgive some of the outlandish things that happen. I mean, look, it's The Matrix. Like,
right. It's going to be slightly nonsensical, I guess.
Right. There's going to be things that you're not going to understand and things that come out of left field. But overall, for it being a potential reboot of the franchise, I think it's
time out. Reboot?
It's going to be a reboot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they
want to do another trilogy is what you're saying.
They hinted at it.
Okay.
So it doesn't surprise me how they worded this story and how they resurrect Neo and Trinity and some of the familiar players here. There's a couple of great cameos in this movie.
Okay.
Which is why I would recommend you may want to rewatch the Matrix trilogy just to remember who's who.
I didn't mean to sound so disgusted. I was like, the second and third movie weren't that great for me.
I loved the second one.
I know you did. But the third one kind of
lost its way. But I think if you're a fan of The Matrix, you will like Matrix Resurrections. I kind of liked some of the, for lack of a better word, rebirth of some characters.
Okay.
And it's very meta, too. They knew Wanda Wachowski and the producers. They knew that this was a weird story to revive. So there's a lot of talk in the beginning of how meta this whole thing is.
Okay.
So I like it that the movie was self-aware.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I guess that's kind of a certain level of self-awareness is required, so it doesn't seem too... It's going to sound crazy, but...
It wasn't, like, hot on its high horse about it.
Right,
They realized that this movie is ridiculous to take place, and, you know, it seems like it's a, you know, a non-original story.
Right.
But they recognized it and tried to use it to its advantage in a meta way of speaking.
Okay.
That's the best. I'm trying. I gotta be.
Yeah,
careful.
You're trying to avoid spoilers.
I'm trying not to
give
spoilers.
Since you literally watched it like the day it came out.
I did.
Wow.
I couldn't go to sleep. I don't know why. So I watched it.
You watched The Matrix Resurrections. Well, there you go. Apparently, it's good enough to keep Rich up into the wee hours of the morning. So.
If you like The Matrix, I think you will like The Matrix Resurrection.
Well, there you go. Go check out The Matrix Resurrections on HBO Max or in theaters. But also, if you're looking for something a little bit more serious, go check out The Tragedy of Macbeth coming out on Apple TV Plus and in select theaters this week. It definitely looks like Apple is angling for some awards recognition here. The fact that it's releasing in limited theaters means that they want to, you know, have a technical theatrical release so it can be eligible for Oscars. But it looks like it may get some recognition. And right now it has a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes with an 8.3 out of 10 average. This is a very stark and artistic telling of Macbeth. It's shot in black and white. It has a crazy good cast from Denzel Washington, Frances McDormand. Lots of great actors and actresses in this film. It's getting a lot of praise, a lot of recognition. So if you're not into the sci-fi, go check out The Tragedy of Macbeth on Apple TV Plus and in select theaters. It should be a good one. Written by Joel Cohen of the Coen Brothers. So, you know, some good pedigree to this one. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, there you go. Mike's This Week in Entertainment. Also, something else too, Matrix Resurrection. It's nice that it's on HBO Max. So,
yeah, I mean, if you have HBO Max, there's really not a reason not to watch it, you know?
Yeah. All right, now let's get to the main topic here in the entertainment entree. We teased this last week, but I think we need to talk about it again. We need to talk about Christmas movies. And it's appropriate. It is a Christmas episode.
It's Christmas, yeah.
So it makes sense. So I think the last couple of years, whenever we've brought up this subject, we've always been kind of trying to be more lenient in terms of what is a Christmas movie. And we've always tried to defend Die Hard as much as we could.
Right.
And everything like that. But now it seems like the pendulum has swung the other way. And now people are almost trying to justify anything as a Christmas movie. And this is getting bizarre now because we're starting to see things like it's either Peacock or HBO Max, one of them, whoever owns Harry Potter. Maybe it's HBO.
I think it's HBO.
Because of Warner Brothers?
I think yes, because we just did a rewatch of the series and I'm pretty sure it was HBO. Yeah.
So HBO had a feature that said Christmas movies to watch. And they put Harry Potter in as a Christmas movie. Folks, no. We got to stop. We got to draw the line somewhere. Look, I love Harry Potter as much as the next millennial and everything like that. But Harry Potter is not a Christmas movie. I don't care what you say. There's literally one scene that takes place during Christmas or something. It doesn't make any sense. Harry Potter is not a Christmas movie. And then we're starting to see some other things. Like for example... I saw this item here from Preston and Steve on 93.3 MMR, the morning show. They had a list here of some, quote, not Christmas movies that people are trying to wedge into the list of Christmas movies.
Oh, get out of here. I'm looking over at this list. Rocky?
Rocky IV, because the fight takes place on Christmas.
No. What else is there? I can't read. I'm blind. What else is there? You got to read them off.
So, look.
What is it?
How about before we tackle the list?
Okay.
We're all in agreement Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Why, though? I think for the sake of our audience,
should we get in the criteria now?
We should get in the criteria.
Okay, let's get in the criteria.
So, first and foremost, Amazon Prime lists it as an alternative Christmas movie. So, Amazon Prime views it as a Christmas movie. Yeah. Amazon Prime lists Die Hard, as an alternative Christmas movie. Quote unquote alternative. I would argue it's not alternative. I would argue that it is
pure 100%
purely Christmas movie, period, end of statement, because I'll give you my reasoning. I've thought about this a lot, clearly. Our friend group in particular argues about this every single holiday season.
Yes.
My girlfriend also recently watched the movie in its entirety for the first time, and she said at the end of it, this is a Christmas movie.
Yes! All right, good. Jordan's on our side.
So here's what I'm going to say. It is a Christmas movie because the inciting incident of the entire story is that John McClane is flying out to see his wife for what, Rich?
Christmas.
A Christmas party. When do people travel? Could it be any other? People are saying it could be another holiday. That's true. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just one day, though. They might not have a Thanksgiving holiday party at the office. He's flying out there specifically to see his wife.
The Nakatomi holiday party.
The Nakatomi holiday party, right? The fact that it's a holiday enhances the underlying plot of the marital struggles and the separation during the holidays and having to fly across the country. It's heightened because of the holiday season. If he was flying out for a random Saturday, it doesn't carry as much weight. Point the second, the soundtrack of the actual movie, they're all modified versions of Christmas songs.
And this movie ends with Let It Snow.
The movie ends with Let It Snow, right. Multiple references to Christmas between Ho, 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 I Have a Machine Gun to, you know, the fact that the whole plot is a weird sort of Robin Hood-esque thing where they're going to try and steal money from Nakatomi to give it to those less fortunate, which I only recently picked up on in my other viewing. They're like, oh, it's not fair. They have all this money. So they're kind of like, there's that little, like, you know, angle to it. Have you ever noticed that? There's like a one or two line reference where the thieves are like, they don't deserve all this money or something like that.
Yeah, but they're still stealing it for themselves.
Yeah, they're still stealing it for themselves. Yeah. But it's, anyway, there was another point that I had as well. There was just a lot
of Christmas elements. One other thing I want to mention is there actually is some sort of morale that is taught that may be Christmassy, but there is a morale or a lesson to learn in a Christmas movie. And for Die Hard, it's John McClane realizing that he needs to be closer to his wife.
Yeah.
They reconcile at the end of the movie.
It's a feel-good ending.
It's a feel-good ending.
Yeah.
There's a lesson that was learned.
Right.
So I think between what you said plus my thing, I think those are your main criteria. There's got to be a Christmas lesson learned. There's got to be, you know, some sort of obviously consistent Christmas references.
I think it requires more than it being set during winter.
Right. It can't be that simple.
Right.
Which is what Harry Potter, that whole mess was.
Right.
There's literally one scene in Harry Potter that is during Christmas. That doesn't make the entire thing a Christmas movie.
Right.
Get out of here with this nonsense.
So I think Die Hard, Christmas movie, I think we both agree on that. We said on that. We quantified it, or we tried to quantify it or qualify it.
Right.
So how do you want to title this next? Do you want to go?
Okay, so let's go back to the list here. That they
so Die Hard
here.
Die Hard number 13 on this list?
Yeah.
That's a Christmas movie.
Right. So that makes sense. That is a Christmas movie.
Right.
Yeah, some of these are just bizarre. You know, some of these are Catch Me If You Can. I love Catch Me If You Can.
It's not a Christmas movie.
That is one of my favorite movies. That is not a Christmas movie.
No.
No. There is, again, like maybe like three different scenes that have to do with Christmas because they keep the Leonardo DiCaprio's character and Tom Hanks's character in this game of cat and mouse. There's three different Christmas days that they end up talking to each other.
So,
but that's it.
There's
nothing else that's Christmassy in that movie.
These are my criteria for a Christmas movie. One, and you have to answer yes to all these questions. One, is there an overwhelming visual or audio connection to the holiday? No. Two, can the movie stand without Christmas being, I mean, can the movie operate on at during a different time other than Christmas? Yes, it can. All right.
Yeah, so yeah.
And
right.
Three, does it have the hallmark Christmas good feeling at the end, like you alluded to, like the lesson or the togetherness, the family? Maybe, maybe not. But I don't, in the Catch Me If You Can, I don't think it has that. So for me, the criteria for a Christmas movie, an overwhelming sense of the holiday in the music, in the visuals, in the references. Two, it has to be the holiday's presence is required for the story to work. And three, it has to have that feel goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah, Catch Me If You Can, one of my favorite movies. It's not a Christmas movie. American Psycho, that's another one. It's one of my favorite movies, but again, it's not a Christmas movie. Like, again, it just happens to take place during Christmas.
Right.
And you really want to get into the heart of that movie. That's one of those movies that's a complete mind F. Like, he doesn't learn anything.
Right.
You don't know whether or not Jason Bateman is a made-up person or not. You don't know whether or not anything that he's told you in the movie is real or not. That
right.
has no Christmas element other than the fact that there's a couple Christmas parties in it. That doesn't...
Right.
So, no, that's not a Christmas movie.
Right.
Uh-uh. Get that out of here. Now, let's go to one that I think is a Christmas movie. Eyes Wide Shut!
Oh,
that
my
is
God.
A Christmas movie. All right, that I will fight for. Eyes Wide Shut is a Christmas movie.
I've never seen it, so I can't say one way or the other, but it doesn't seem like a Christmas movie on the surface.
It is absolutely a Christmas movie. Let's go back to the Die Hard references.
Okay.
All right.
Well, wait, does it pass the test? Is there an overwhelming sense of the holiday?
Yes.
Okay, so audio and visually,
it is consistent
throughout.
There's holiday lights, there's Christmas trees, a big Christmas party kicks off the movie.
So it's an inciting incident, Christmas. So does the story exist without the holiday?
I think...
The holiday enhance it?
Very much so, because... Number one, it adds to the almost mystic vibe to the mystery horror element.
Let's put it this way. Could it be set during Thanksgiving or the 4th of July?
It could, but it wouldn't be as good. It would take away from the ether of what Tom Cruise's character enters into this world.
So it depends on Christmas and Christmas and Christmas enhances it.
I don't think the story would not work the same way.
Okay. So the holiday setting enhances it. It is an integral part of it. Is there a lesson? Is there a feel goodness? Is there...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because by the end of the movie, he realizes that he needs to be with his family I'm trying to be PG about this because it could get a little R-ier. It is Stanley Kubrick. But he needs to
not
be with the woman that he married and not strange women in the night. That's the best.
Strange women in the night. That's very Christmassy.
But he learns to get away from it.
Okay.
Fair enough. So that's a Christmas lesson.
Fair enough. I mean, it passes the criteria.
Yeah.
And you didn't really have to shoehorn it in.
I'm telling you, if you watch Eyes Wide Shut with your criteria, you're going to say it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
So
I mean, I'm all for it.
Yes.
So let's go. All right. So Eyes Wide Shut, absolutely. What other movies on there? Edward Scissorhands.
All right. I don't remember Iron Man 3. Why is that on this list?
Wait, Iron Man 3?
Yeah. Why is Iron Man 3? Do you remember Iron Man 3?
Iron Man 3, remember he gets stuck in that little town where he helps that boy?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Is Christmas overwhelmingly present throughout the film? Not particularly. During Act 2, yes. During Act 1 and Act 3, not so much. Could it exist without the holiday, or does the holiday enhance it? I don't think the holiday enhances it. Again, that Act 2, yes, but you can't just say one-third of a movie being Christmas makes it a Christmas movie and doesn't have positive lessons. I mean, it's a superhero movie. So, yes, it has positive lessons and feel goodness, but it's not because of the holiday.
Yeah.
So I'm eliminating Iron Man 3 based on those criteria.
All right, but now I'm going to flip it around.
Okay.
On the bottom, we have Batman Returns.
Okay.
I could see that being a Christmas movie. It's very close. I would see the justification in that. There's a lot of Christmas references. You kind of have Bruce Wayne trying to open his heart to a potential love interest. And there's a lot of mistletoe imagery with Catwoman and everything like that. Unfortunately, spoiler, doesn't go well for Catwoman in that movie. Lots of snow, lots of matter of fact, the falling action in that movie when the Penguin comes out is the Christmas tree lighting of Gotham.
Okay.
And Bruce Wayne, Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne, his last line in the film is "Merry Christmas, Alfred," and like it's supposed to be like,
okay,
as falling, settling action as the snow falls and fades to black. Like, I could see it. I think that would be in that as well.
I'll give it to you.
That's close. Yeah,
I'll give it to you.
If this was a spectrum, that would be on the closer to valid Christmas movie than some of these other ones.
Yes,
definitely. I can't believe Catch Me If You Can is on. Like,
Catch Me If You Can is not a Christmas
movie. I love Catch Me If You Can. That blows me away.
Why is Rocky IV on there? Is it winter?
Well, yeah. The he trains in Russia during the winter.
Okay.
And the fight is on Christmas. Paulie okay. gets a pet robot.
That's weird.
On Christmas.
So hold on. You're saying the main fight is on Christmas.
Yes, yes, the fight against Drago is on Christmas.
That's
yes.
a bit harder to dispel because one could argue using my criteria that Christmas and winter themes are ever present, that the story is enhanced by and is dependent on the holiday. And because
so is Rocky IV a Christmas
movie? Rocky IV a Christmas movie? I think here's the thing. Ooh. It's the holidays. You need to have a good faith interpretation of the rules. You can twist my criteria and fit Rocky IV, but a good faith interpretation of the rules would suggest that a sports movie is not a holiday movie because the predominant genre is sort of the antithesis of the holiday spirit. You know what I mean? I just don't think that Rocky as a movie. Oh, no. If we include Die Hard, I guess we have to include Rocky.
Oh, Rocky IV is a Christmas movie.
Rocky IV is a Christmas movie.
Woo! Yeah! All right.
I didn't want to do it, but I mean...
I didn't think you'd do it.
I have to... What?
I didn't think you'd do it.
I have to abide by the criteria.
All right. There you go. Rocky IV, officially a Christmas movie.
I think the criteria worked, though.
I think you have a good set there. I think it's a pretty good
outline. Because here's the
thing.
Everybody comes up with these lists, but they don't quantify it. They don't try and qualify it. They don't try and define their key terms. I'm at least trying to define my key terms. You can't say Harry Potter's a Christmas movie because,
yeah, definitely not
because
Harry Potter.
It's uh-huh. winter. That is not a Christmas movie. Okay? No. And a lot of these movies fall victim to that.
The Ref is also a nice one, too. A nice touch. I do like The Ref.
Yeah, I don't. These some of these are obscure.
The ref is Dennis Leary trying to break into a home, but like the traditional suburban family, the husband and wife hate each other, and they're actually like on the verge of a divorce. So like when he breaks in, they actually like go ahead kill the other person. I don't see what I care. And like he ends up having to be like a mediator because like a police truck happens to be like around the area, so he doesn't want to give his, you know, he doesn't want to tip the cops that he's trying to rob this house. Like it's a good movie. It's a solid like B+ movie for Christmas.
Okay,
it takes place during Christmas, and a lot of imagery.
I have to say this. I'm going to retract my statement on Rocky IV.
Why?
Because I just remember part of my criteria. Could it exist at another time and have the same effect? Yes, they could have had that fight on the 4th of July. And that would have
but the Russia would not allow it.
But it would have been. But this is a case where it being on Christmas doesn't matter. If it had been set on the 4th of July, it would have been more impactful. If it had been set on New Year's, it would have been just as impactful.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're unseating the USSR at least in that one little brief moment. Like, and you're starting okay. Starting anew in the new year. So I take back my secret. Rocky IV, not a Christmas movie.
Damn.
It gets three of the criteria, but like it fails on that. Could it? Does it have to be set in Christmas to work? I don't think it does.
Okay. Just when I thought I had you for Rocky IV.
Yeah. So the reason. So this is interesting because I've recently been thinking about other Christmas movies because my girlfriend and I had this conversation after watching Die Hard. We came to the conclusion that you can actually claim that some movies that we widely regard as Christmas movies as not Christmas movies.
Okay.
So take, for instance, It's a Wonderful Life, one of the most well-known Christmas movies. Christmas is not part of that until like more than halfway through the film.
Yeah, should that even be a Christmas movie?
And what is the movie about, Rich? It's about a man realizing that there's lots of people in his life that rely and depend on him, and that things would be worse off if he wasn't there. That's not explicitly a Christmas theme, right? That movie could happen at New Year's and be the same thing. That movie could happen, you know, is it enhanced by Christmas? Yes, but it can also exist at other times. Christmas isn't the inciting incident, I don't believe.
So Die Hard is more of a Christmas movie than It's a Wonderful Life.
I'm saying that if you want to fight me on Die Hard, I'm going to come back at you.
Oh.
I'm going to take your Christmas movies and I'm going to show you how they're not Christmas movies. So tell me this. This is a very popular Christmas genre. If you go on Netflix at all during the holidays, you'll see 400 movies about princesses swapping places for Christmas. What makes that a Christmas movie?
All those Hallmark movies?
All those Hallmark movies. What makes those Christmas movies other than the fact that it's just taking place during the holidays?
Yeah. Oh, Big city woman has to come to...
Right, and get in touch with her roots. Could that not happen on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Could that not happen
at... Sweet Home Alabama.
Could that not happen during a family reunion? Why Christmas?
Yep.
So I'm just saying, if you come for Die Hard, I'm going to come for your movies.
Oh, there you go. Get the pitchforks
Happy
ready.
Happy holidays.
Get the pitchforks ready. There you go.
No, I mean, here's the thing. Ultimately, you have to have a good faith interpretation of these things. If something looks like a Christmas movie and smells like a Christmas movie, it's probably a Christmas movie. Die Hard, to me, looks and smells like a Christmas movie because it's so woven into its DNA. Right?
And so does Eyes Wide Shut.
So does Eyes Wide Shut, apparently.
Yes.
But I would challenge people who want to label a movie as a Christmas movie or not a Christmas movie to come up with criteria like I did. It's very easy to say it's a Christmas movie because there's snow. But I want to know why you're qualifying something as a Christmas movie.
All right. So before we leave this topic, there's something I wanted to get off my chest. I wanted to do my top five Christmas movies, and I thought about this.
Okay. I did not. Thank you for letting me know.
So yeah, I mean, if you want to jump on, think about
sure.
it. But I would do my top five would be number five would be Eyes Wide Shut. Four would be Scrooged.
Okay.
I love Bill Murray. In that tale, I love there's 8 million times they've told you know that story of, you know,
right?
All that, you know, that's
yeah.
But I love that one in particular. Elf, I do love Elf. I think Elf will go down as the modern Christmas classic.
Yeah.
Die Hard at two, and then one Christmas Story.
Yeah.
That would be my top five.
My list is actually pretty similar. I, however, have to take out Eyes Wide Shut, and I have to take out... I think I would swap in Muppets Christmas Carol for one of them.
You do like the Muppets Christmas Carol.
I do
Carol.
Like the Muppets yeah, Christmas Carol. It's Marley and Marley. Ooh! As a kid, I just loved it. And I don't even like the Muppets. That's
but you love that one.
So, like, when I wanted to show my girlfriend that movie, she's like, I don't like the Muppets. I'm like, neither do I. And she's like, why do you like the Muppets Christmas Carol? I'm like, look, I can't explain
it. Why are we watching this?
I do not know. Like, I don't watch the Muppets. I don't follow the Muppets. I just like the Muppets Christmas Carol.
All right, fair enough.
Plain and simple. And the Christmas Carol with Jean-Luc Picard, whose real name I cannot remember.
Oh, Patrick Stewart?
Patrick Stewart. There we go. Yeah. That's a good one.
Okay.
So those would be my top five.
Wait, no, so what was... So I don't think you gave me five.
In no particular... No, I said my list was the same as yours, except not maybe in the same order. Top one is A Christmas Story.
Okay, so you're with me on that.
One of the Christmas Carols is number two. Die Hard is up there somewhere. Elf is up there somewhere. And the other Christmas Carol is the fifth one.
Okay. All right, good.
Yeah,
he gave me two movies.
I gave you two.
I said, "Well, I said
that's my top five: Christmas Carol and Christmas Carol." Me know how count.
Mike did not pass math.
No, but we all knew that. So,
all right. Well, there you go. That's our Christmas movie chat. Hopefully, you guys enjoy that and let us know if you have any addendums or any of your own criteria that you want to add to our Crispy Noodle criteria here. But with that, we got to move to the last portion of our show, the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples! Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back. Get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Woo, odd news.
That's right, everyone. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news. He reads the news. And I react to the news. He finds a weird and wacky story and keeps it hidden from me, which ensures that my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing this story for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. Where are we heading to? Is it Florida?
No.
No?
No, they're taking the holiday off.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good for all of our sanity.
Yep. But I don't know if this is better or worse.
Uh-oh.
We're not going too far. We're going to Wilmington, Delaware in this story.
Oh, my. That's quite close by.
Yeah, we can drive there and have a Saturday there.
And meet this person.
We probably could. He's somewhere down there.
Oh, my gosh. We probably bumped into him somewhere.
Yep. Well, I love dumb criminal stories.
Oh, absolutely.
And this one definitely takes the cake here. Because moments after robbing a Wells Fargo bank, a man decided to take that stolen money that he grabbed from the bank, go out to the ATM that's located on the same bank's front door, and try to deposit the money.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Yes. He literally commits a successful bank robbery.
He runs out the door, turns around, goes up to the ATM.
Hello, I'm a normal guy.
What did he think? Like as soon as he leaves the door, like he's escaped scot-free? Like,
it's about to get all stupid up in here.
He thought it was Grand Theft Auto rules. Like, you go out, you spend time away from the cops, let the stars go away, and then you can just waltz right back in and deposit
right,
the money.
Yeah, right. So, okay, hold on. So clear up a few things for me. Did he go to the ATM at the same bank that he robbed? That's what it sounds like. And how soon after? Immediately? Or like did he actually wait some time?
Okay, so let's
go to a different bank. It doesn't matter if it was 2 seconds, 2 hours, or 2 days, go to a different bank to deposit your stolen funds. It's that simple.
Well, let's try and set up the timeline here then.
Okay.
Investigators say that 44-year-old McRoberts Williams, his first name is McRoberts.
McRoberts? Why does his name sound fake?
Why is your first name sound like a last name? Usually we have a symptom of like two first names.
Are you sure it's not backwards? Are you sure it's not William McRobert?
No, it's McRoberts Williams. Both plural, too.
McRoberts?
Yeah, that's his first name.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that's weird.
McRoberts. Like, who calls their kid McRoberts?
Yeah.
Like, you have a kid, oh, it's a nice, beautiful baby boy. That's McRoberts.
Yeah.
You're right, it's two last names.
Yeah, and it's plural. I don't know, it's weird.
Plural,
I like
and
it.
Plural? No.
Anyway, this guy, 44-year-old McRoberts Williams, he approached the Wells Fargo branch teller Saturday morning in Wilmington, Delaware, and handed her a note saying, "This is a robbery. Give me $1,500.
Okay.
So there you go. But
that's it?
That's all it took.
Wow.
Because at that point, the bank employee did proceed to get $1,500 to him. He took the money and ran from the bank.
Okay. So far, so good.
Yep. Oh, my God. Later that day,
oh no,
he attempted to come back to the same Wells Fargo bank and, quote, make a deposit in the ATM on the exterior of the Wells Fargo building, according to Wilmington cops.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
I can just see the stupid logic going on in his head. This is exactly what he's thinking. They'll never expect me to go back to the bank I just robbed. They'll never see it coming.
My stars went away.
My stars went away, yeah. He's like, they're probably looking for me. They probably think that I skipped town, that I'm across state lines by now with my $1,500.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
To make it even better, this Wells Fargo Bank is located on a shopping center.
So okay, so tons of eyes and witnesses. Awesome.
So after he tried to deposit the money, the stolen money, into the ATM, he decided to go shopping.
Well, of course.
He has no care in the world.
So wait, did he was he actually able to deposit, or did it fail?
So, well, I mean, the ATM is outside of the bank, so it's one of those,
right,
I guess,
right,
you just shove in the money. So
right, so yeah, so
but they have cameras there.
Right, exactly.
So I think they can deduce same guy from earlier this morning.
Yeah, they're probably on super high alert because they were literally just robbed.
Yes, correct.
Like, this is what I don't understand that he doesn't understand. like the bank was just robbed. They're not going to be like, oh, well, back to business.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they'd be like a little tense, you know, like they'd be like on high alert. So why would you think that you could just come back and they wouldn't notice the person who just robbed them trying to deposit funds? So he deposits the funds. Then he goes shopping.
Yeah. And
so he's hanging around. So not only does he rob a bank, but then he returns to said bank later and then doesn't immediately leave again. He hangs out near said bank.
Yes. To go shopping in the nearby stores.
With all the money he just deposited.
Yes.
Why didn't he just use the money to buy stuff? Wait, why even bother depositing it? You're going to go shopping. Bro, you messed up. Why?
He wants to get the...
He's like, I got a deposit so I can use my debit card. Just use the money!
He wants to get the points. He needs to get the points on his credit card, you know,
oh
so...
Oh, my God. Yeah, of course. Right,
right.
You
want to get those points.
Yeah,
airline
don't...
Airline points.
Right, don't use the cash. Use your card. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
You want to get those rewards.
I'm so mad at this individual. He did all for $1,500. Like, it's not... It's a nice chunk of change, but, like, not worth felony charges.
Yeah. So apparently it didn't take long. I guess they were already on, like you said, on high alert.
Yeah.
And they were monitoring the cameras, and it didn't take them long to realize that was the same person that had demanded the $1,500.
I'm assuming he did not wear a mask.
Guess what? Just confronted him right in that shopping center.
Of course they did.
It doesn't say what he was shopping for, but
probably something stupid.
Just right in there. Bam. They take him.
Good.
He thought he was going to get away with this.
Nope.
He thought he was going to have a shopping spree.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
During the post-arrest interview, Williams then confessed to the bank robbery. He said that his escape route was that he was going to ride on the exterior of a cargo train.
What? Just, I don't.
What kind of hillbilly stuff is this?
What movie do you think you're starring in? He's gonna like get his hobo sack and like hitch a ride on the cargo train. What hobo fantasy are you trying to live out?
Also,
I'd like to remind everyone, he did not just like rob a bank for tens of thousands of dollars.
$1,500.
He didn't steal a priceless gem or a work of art. Sold $1,500. Like, just...
I'm good for life. $1,500.
Oh, man. It was such a large sum of money. He had to hop a cargo train to head over to the next state.
Yeah.
What an upsetting...
What is this hillbilly nonsense? I'm going to hop on the back of a cargo train. Where was your escape? There was no escape that happened here. You left the bank.
Well, Rich,
and then
he had to buy supplies to hop on the cargo train. That's what he was shopping for. He was going to Hobos R Us.
So that was his future escape.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, he hadn't made his grand escape yet.
Yeah, right. Now, normally people rob a bank and they escape immediately. But he decided, of course, to rob the bank and then deposit it like a responsible adult, yes. Of course. And then go shopping, of course, because you got to get supplies for the escape. Why wouldn't... the thing is, he wanted to escape, but he didn't have the money to buy the supplies to escape, so he had to steal the money to get the money to buy the supplies to escape. And so it just spiraled all the way out of control.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
That's correct.
Yes.
Dear God.
If you're going to hop on a cargo train.
I'm going to hop on a cargo train. Bye. That was my great escape.
Like, what?
Wilmington.
This is in Wilmington.
You guys,
he's not some backwoods hick town. This is Wilmington.
Yeah, you guys are interesting folk down there in Wilmington. That's
man.
Woo.
Oh my God, I'm so upset right now.
I feel like this guy must be a Rockstar fan. Like, his logic is a mix of Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, right.
Like, I robbed the bank. I don't go back for like an hour or two while my stars go away. Come back, deposit the money, and then I'm going to make my escape on the back of a cargo train like Red Dead Redemption.
Right. Like, how is he going to get on the cargo train? Is he going to ride his horse?
Yeah, and
up to the open door and jump on, and the horse just... Where do the horses go in those movies?
Go away.
They just ride off.
Ride off into the sunset.
Into the prairie. They're just like, bye.
Yeah.
I always wondered that. Where does the horse go?
Also, another fun fact during the post-arrest interview, Williams at one point decided to veer off and claim that a third-party entity was controlling him from an implant somewhere. So
that story took a turn.
Yeah. So in the middle of this post-arrest interview, he thought maybe there were aliens or something that was controlling him. So
okay. Well,
he quickly dropped that. I guess he realized how ridiculous that was coming out of his mouth.
He's like, I know what'll convince them.
Aliens.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Yeah. So he dropped that one very quickly.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, his official tally, he's been charged with a felony robbery count, and he is locked up in lieu of a $6,000 bond. So, unfortunately for fine Wilmington people,
didn't even steal enough money to cover all the
not
charges.
Cover his bond, yeah.
That was just bad planning. He didn't have the supplies to escape. He didn't have the money to buy the supplies to escape. Didn't have the money to cover his bond. He just failed, like everything.
Yeah.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
And it did. There you go. Delaware.
Good old Delaware.
Have we ever had a Delaware odd news story? I don't think so.
I'm sure we have.
It's a very small state.
We've also done like almost 500 episodes of this thing. There has to be at least one of them in there.
Maybe. I don't know. Not Wilmington.
No, not Wilmington. Maybe some like
Wilmington
backwoods.
Like, it's, I know people that live in Wilmington, so this is weird.
It's right there. Like, it's... There's probably some backwoods town, maybe, we had a new story from.
Yeah, but not Wilmington.
No.
So, there you go. Wilmington, you're officially on our odd news list.
Congratulations and welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Here's
there is no welcoming gift.
Here's your Coca-Cola and free Wells Fargo koozie. There you go. That's what you get.
Yay.
Welcome. there you go. Odd news wrapped up right there. And with that, I think it is time to start wrapping this up. It's been a crazy episode. It's been a crazy week. How about this? First, it's been a crazy week in general.
Oh, yeah.
Because of...
so much going on.
The weird planning with the Eagles game and everything like that and Christmas. But you know what? Somehow, Everything still came together. We still got a show for you right before Christmas. So very happy that everything worked out. And we indeed are here to give you the latest in sports, entertainment, and odd news. Thank you guys for listening, supporting us however way it was possible, whether it's the video feed, the podcast, it all matters to us. So thank you guys for helping us out. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on all the social media, stocking stuffers, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
That's right. In addition to all that fun stuff, you can also subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast's YouTube channel, where you can find video versions of the podcast. But if you still listen on audio, we have the audio version of the podcast available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Amazon devices. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on either YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we've got the mini noodles. You can check that out for quick hits from the past archives.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast, especially around the holiday season. Give the gift of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. Let us know if you have Christmas movie criteria that you want to share with us and any other comments from this episode. But for right now, we got to start wrapping this up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will do it. Anything else, Mike?
Merry Christmas, everybody, and thank you for listening.
That's right. Merry Christmas to everyone.
And to all a good night.
And all a good night. There you go. Fantastic. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later. Bye-bye, all you fine peoples. Merry Christmas.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.